Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 12 and verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers. It's a lot. To keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel, and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Tonight I want to preach to you about God of the impossible. God of the impossible. Has anybody got an impossible situation? Anybody have an impossible need that you just know it's impossible? It's impossible, but what is impossible unto man is possible unto God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for your promises. I thank you, Jesus, that we can trust in you and walk by faith. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage every heart, every person that's here tonight, every person watching or listening online. I pray that your blessing would go forth, God, and that our faith would stand upon your word and upon your promises, Lord, that we would move forward with the expectation that we would see the miracle that you have already provided, that we would take hold of it by faith, and we give you the glory and the honor and the praise right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you clap your hands and give the Lord praise? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. It's so good to see everyone here tonight. Our text that we just read, it tells us that Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass and to persecute the church. He was an instrument of Satan. Who was Herod the king? This was Herod Agrippa. He was the grandson of Herod the Great, who had ruled when Jesus was born. Now, historical accounts say that just like his grandfather, Herod Agrippa was very shrewd and cunning and dangerously vicious leader. He had been educated in Rome, but had been unsuccessful, and when he found himself in great debt, he appealed for help to his sister Herodias, who was married to Herod Antipas. Now, Herod Antipas was the king that had a part in the trial of Jesus Christ. And so just a little history lesson here. Herod Agrippa appealed to his sister, who was married to Herod Antipas, and Herod Antipas gave the other Herod a lowly job, and really he taunted him and he insulted him for his poverty, which Herod Agrippa never forgot. You know, sometimes you'll forget stuff that happens, but you don't forget how people make you feel. And so Herod Agrippa, he hung on to that. And And at some point, he went back to Rome, and in a stroke of luck, I guess, he really makes close friends with Gaius Caligula, who would later become the Caesar of Rome. And when that happened, Herod Agrippa turned Caligula against his uncle, Herod Antipas, and Caligula installed Herod Agrippa to be king over all the territories that his uncle had controlled. And about 4 years later, when Caligula was assassinated, okay, and there's a lot in this, but Caligula, Caesar, was assassinated. The new Caesar, Claudius, he added Samaria and Judea and Idumea to Herod Agrippa's kingdom. And so Herod Agrippa, in the end, he controlled and reigned over all the same territories that his grandfather, Herod Agrippa, or Herod the Great, had controlled. And so Herod Agrippa harassed the church because it was a popular thing to do politically. It pleased many of his citizens, Jewish people, who did not like the Christians. And we see the same thing today. No doubt we'll even see it more and more as the end time unfolds. Politicians being quick to harass Christians if they feel it would make them more popular with those who hate us. Our text says that Herod killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And that usually means that he was probably beheaded. Of the 12 disciples, James was the first to be martyred. Now, he was not the first Christian to be killed. We know of Stephen and of others. But this was the first of the 12 disciples to be killed for their belief in Jesus Christ. And so the death of James, it shattered an illusion that many had perhaps at that time, that the 12 had a unique protection upon them. James was of the inner circle, okay? Many times you see Jesus would go with his inner circle, Peter, James, and John. But it was also James and John that came to Jesus not really realizing what they were asking, and they wanted to sit on his right hand and on his left hand. You remember that? Reading in Mark chapter 10, verse 38, "But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. And so James is killed, and John escaped death, but he lived through repeated attempts to take his life, and then he lived in banishment on the Isle of Patmos. There were probably some times that perhaps John wished he was dead. When he was being burned alive in oil, I'm sure that he thought, oh, it'd be better to die. An interesting story that I read of while looking for information for this tonight, there's a story told from that day that was told about a soldier that was guarding James. It was guarding James before his trial or whatever it was, and how this soldier was so affected by James' testimony and his witness that he himself became a Christian and was willingly executed beside James because his witness was so powerful. And so Herod saw that it pleased the Jews when he had killed James, and so he goes after Peter. And he has him arrested and put in prison. Now, he determined to wait until after the Passover to bring him out and kill him too. And so he was trying to show how, you know, religious he was, not killing him on the Passover. He was going to wait until after it. And to the wisdom of man, the situation looked impossible. Peter was awaiting death, and he was in a cell deep within the prison. He was guarded by 16 soldiers. These were not just regular soldiers, but apparently it was a highly elite security detail that was assigned to guard him. He was changed at all times to two of them. He was deep within the inner prison behind three locked gates. If one thing was certain, he was not getting out of this. James had already been killed, and now Peter had been chosen. And Herod the king had decreed it. And in the morning, it was going down. It was impossible for anything but Peter's death to come about. To the wisdom of the world, the church might as well have been praying for hell to freeze over. They could pray all they wanted to. They could pray all they pleased, but nothing was going to stop Peter's head from rolling in the dirt in just a few hours. Now, I want us to consider something here tonight. The church prayed for Peter, but don't you think they prayed for James too? And what good did that do? James was killed anyway. So not only was Peter in an impossible situation, but there had to be an unprecedented attack of doubt and fear that came against them. As the enemy said, well, you prayed before and look what happened. You believed for a miracle before and it didn't come to pass. Why pray again? Why believe again? Why put your faith out there this time? And at times we're faced with the same thing. There's been times when I've gone straight from a funeral to pray for healing and deliverance. There's been times I've gone directly from a loss to believing again for a miracle. Why did God spare Peter and not James? I don't know. I don't know. We all wonder about things like that. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. We wish we had the answer sometimes. It would make things simple as far as we can understand. But not knowing those answers, we can still walk by faith. And we can still continue on trusting in the Lord. Believing that His ways are light years beyond our own understanding. And I've come to preach to somebody here tonight that maybe you did pray before, and maybe you did believe before, and maybe you did fast, and you touched the throne of God, and you didn't get the answer that you thought you needed. But I want to tell you tonight, don't you stop praying. Don't you give up. You keep on. You pray again. You touch the throne of God again. You persist in prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We may not always understand our circumstances. We may often have a lot of unanswered questions about life, but we can always know the God of our circumstance, trusting that He knows what's best. We don't walk by human understanding, we walk by faith. We walk by faith in God. And just like Abraham declared when he was pleading for the souls of the city of Sodom, we can also declare too, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? He's the judge of all the earth. He knows every detail. He sees everything and He does what's right. God always makes the right decision. Hallelujah. God always does the right thing. His plan is always perfect. Many times it's beyond our understanding, but our faith is what keeps us and trusting in the God of the universe to do what's right. We trust in scriptures like Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Praise the Lord. It was that trust in God that the early church on its knees. Yes, James had been killed, and yes, this was an impossible situation. Yes, Peter was about to be killed in the morning, and it didn't seem like there was any way out. But we serve the God of the impossible. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we're going to intercede for our very best for our brother in prison. And none of them had really been that long in the church. They were just new Christians, but they had faith in the God of the impossible. Hallelujah, hallelujah. While Herod had his prisons and his soldiers, The church had the power of prayer. Peter was bound deep within the prison, but the church was free to pray. The chains may have gripped him tight, but they couldn't hold back the prayers of the church. While the gates were all locked and shut, the gate of heaven was wide open. Praise the Lord. And the church took advantage of that through prayer. I've come to preach to somebody right now. It may seem like the chains of darkness have come around you. It may seem like you're in a prison. It may seem like the gates are all shut, but the gate of heaven is wide open, and you approach it through prayer. You can come before the throne of God. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, heaven is listening to your prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody, keep praying. Keep on believing. Keep on trusting in God. Keep on having faith. Keep on believing God's about to work. God's about to bring a breakthrough. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. They prayed without ceasing. What does that mean? I think it means they prayed without ceasing. They didn't stop. I believe they may have had maybe people praying in shifts around the clock or whatever, but prayer was being made without ceasing for Peter. And today we want miracles. We want signs and wonders. We want revival. But we can't even make it to prayer before church. Church family prayer on the first of the month is not a priority. I know it's not. I'm not talking about everybody, but some of us, we can do better. We're not praying throughout the week. And our level of results is going to match the level of our prayer. If you want to change your life, start praying like you've never prayed before. Hallelujah. If you want to transform your prayer, your family, prayer is the answer. If you want to live a life of miracles and signs and wonders, prayer is the key. Because God is God of the impossible, but it takes prayer for us to connect with His purpose and His plan. It takes prayer to move mountains. It takes prayer to get to a place where we're not just operating in the flesh, but we're operating through the power of the Spirit. And you can't get there without prayer. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 4 verse 31 tells us, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Oh, we want the place to be shaken. We want to see our life transformed. Amen. We want to see people transformed around us. We want the God of the impossible to show up in all His power. But the key is, they prayed. They prayed. When they prayed, the place was shaken. When they prayed, that's when the boldness came. When they prayed, that's when they were filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Prayer is the answer. Prayer is the answer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I tell you, there wouldn't be problems in churches if people were praying like they should. Marriages would be totally different if people would just pray. Families would be transformed. Children and young people wouldn't struggle like they do. Relationships would be blessed if people would just pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. It'd be a whole lot easier to love our brother and our sister if we'd spend time in prayer. Praise the Lord. They prayed and the place was shaken. And God gave them a boldness that changed their whole outlook on life. If we want that kind of results, we got to do what they did. They prayed. They prayed. Stories told about a man who went to his pastor years ago. Years ago, he goes to his pastor and says, "Pastor, I wish you'd preach more like Charles Spurgeon." Charles Spurgeon pastored a church in London in the late 1800s. His oratory skills are said to just, it would hold his listeners spellbound. Many of his sermons and writings are available today, and they're quite inspiring to read. And so when this man told his pastor, he said, "Well, I wish you'd preach more like Spurgeon." The pastor said, Well, many times when Spurgeon preached, there was 700 men in the basement of that church that were praying. They were on their knees interceding for their pastor. He said, if you want your pastor to preach like that, you need to pray like that. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you, prayer makes a difference. Prayer makes the difference. Prayer changes things. Prayer brings revival. Prayer connects us with heaven. Prayer gets the attention of God. Amen, amen. Men, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you men tonight. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for your faithfulness, your leadership, your giving, your sacrifice, your giving sacrificially. Keep all that up. I'm not saying anything about that, but you know something that's more important than all of that. Your prayer life. Your prayer life. Hallelujah. Young people, I love your worship. I love your energy. I love your excitement. It encourages me. All right? I'm right in there with you. I feel like we should give everything when we come to the house of the Lord and worship and praise unto God. But let me tell you something that's even more important to your prayer life. Your prayer life. Hallelujah. What kind of services would we have if every single person made it to the prayer room before church? What kind of revival would we experience if everybody was praying throughout the week and not when we just come to church services? What kind of church would this be if we really prayed without ceasing? I'm telling you, the answer is in prayer. The answer is in prayer because it puts us in contact, in unity with the God of the impossible. And when we're attuned in the Spirit, God says, I'm going to move through you to do what you are needing to be done. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now back to Peter in prison. It's the night before his execution, and where is he? He's chained between two soldiers. 16 guards total. He's deep within the prison behind three locked gates, and he's sleeping. Sleeping. He showed no sign of anxiety on what certainly seemed to be the last night of his life. Now, I don't know. Maybe it was because he knew that this wasn't the last night, because Jesus one day had prophesied to him about all the stuff that would happen when he was old, okay? So maybe that was why he knew he wasn't old yet. Or maybe it was just because he was so trusting of whatever God's will was, he's just like, well, okay, whatever. Lord, you got this. He goes to sleep. Acts chapter 12, verse 7, it says, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. The soldiers, the chains, the guards, the iron gates, Herod's sentence of death, they were all nothing when God answered the prayers of the church. Hallelujah. The chains fell from Peter's wrist. The doors opened. Amen. The guards just kept on sleeping. And Peter was ushered by the angel out into the street. I tell you today, he's God of the impossible. He's God of the impossible. There's no other explanation. It was a supernatural miracle that delivered Peter from prison. There was too much against him. There was too much he couldn't overcome. But the God of the impossible made a way. Oh, come on, somebody. What are you facing tonight? What are you up against that seems impossible, that seems too much for you? What is it that's too great for any natural solution beyond human ability? You need to put your trust in the God of the impossible. You need to put your prayer to work. Don't waste any time. Don't do anything else. But you need to pray until something happens. You need to pray without ceasing and believe that God is going to open the door, that God's going to bring you out. You need to know when
when you pray, God takes notice. Hallelujah. Come on, the enemy will throw whatever he can at you to stop you from praying. He'll tell you it's not working. He'll tell you you're not getting an answer. He'll tell you God's not hearing. He'll tell you the problem is too big. You keep right on praying. He's trying to get you to stop because he knows prayers work. Prayers work. Hallelujah. 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 And when God works in answer to prayer, it confounds the enemy. Read with me, Acts chapter 12, verse 18. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers, I bet, which became of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. It didn't make sense. They'd made sure of every detail. There was no way that he could escape. It was impossible, but God did it. God did it. And just look what happened a few verses later. Acts chapter 12, verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration to them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. Hallelujah. Herod, who had plotted and calculated all through life to get where he was, he trusted in human ability. He trusted in the might of soldiers and armies. But look where he ended up. After all he tried to do to destroy the church, the word of God grew and multiplied. Who do we trust in? Psalm chapter 20, verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. I don't care what the devil has sent. Come on, I don't care you how big the mountain is. I don't care you how big the battle is. You keep remembering the name of the Lord your God. You keep calling out the name of Jesus in prayer. You keep believing for the miracle. You keep pressing through in prayer. There is going to be an answer. Hallelujah. Just look with me. Look with me at how afraid the devil is. We're so afraid of the devil, but look how afraid the devil is. 16 guards assigned to watch Peter. Usually just one would be for special prisoners like this. Behind three locked doors of the inner prison, Satan was so unsure himself that he had to go overkill, and it still didn't work. And do you remember when Jesus died on the cross? He was already dead. The Roman guards attested to that, but Satan wanted to make double sure. And so they thrust a spear into his side. Still, Satan was unsettled. They placed the Lord and his body inside a tomb. They rolled a massive stone over the entrance. Was that enough? No, not enough yet. Guards were put outside and a Roman seal placed on the tomb. Do you see how unsure Satan is himself? Come on. Why would people possibly want to follow a leader who is so nervous? He better be nervous, though. He better be nervous. Hallelujah. One of these days, there's one single angel going to take him. He's going to grab Satan with one hand, and with the other hand, he's going to grab the Antichrist, and he's going to throw him, just one angel. I don't even think it's an archangel. Just says one angel. He's going to grab Satan in one hand, the Antichrist in the other hand, and he's going to throw them both into hell. No wonder he's nervous. No wonder he's nervous. But on the other side of things, we can have confidence in knowing and serving God. That no matter how grim the circumstance, we can trust in Jesus. He is God of the impossible. He is God of the impossible. Come on, he's not seen a situation that he can't work out. He's not seen a family too messed up that he can't bring them back together again. He's not seen a person too addicted, too broken, too messed up that he can't fill them with his spirit and get them back on the right track. He's God of the impossible. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel like encouraging somebody here tonight. God's not finished. God's not done. He's got more he's wanting to do. You just keep on praying. You keep on believing. You keep on being faithful. You keep on trusting in God. There is an impossible situation that God is about to work out for you. Hallelujah. Come on, could we stand in closing and just magnify his name? Can we give him glory? Can we give him honor right now? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, you're able. There is nothing that's too hard for you. You are God of the impossible. There is nothing that is impossible unto the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And so if God is able to do anything, why does he wait around on us to pray before he does it? If God could do it, why doesn't he just go do it? I don't know. In my thinking, if I was God, I'd be like, okay, they're not going to pray. I'm just going to do it my own way. Here we go. Boom, it's done. But that's not how God works. All throughout the Bible, you see where God waited on us to do our part. If you look at this, the angel said to Peter in Acts chapter 12, verse 8, he said, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." I don't know what kind of pajamas Peter wore. But the angel said, "Get up, get dressed." And once Peter had done his part, the angel did the rest. Power of God delivered him. We can't just sit back and expect God to do what we can do. We might not be able to do it all, but there's some things that we can do. We can pray. We can walk by faith. We can be obedient. We can do what's humanly possible. And after we've done what's humanly possible, that's when God of the impossible steps in and says, "You've done your part, now let me do mine." Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody here tonight, I feel this so strongly. Somebody here is facing an impossible situation. And the enemy has cast such doubt and fear. Maybe he's telling you, look, here again, here, you've come through so many times before, and here you are again. It just seems like you can't get victory. It seems like you're just struggling. Here you are again. And he's trying to stop your prayers, because he knows if you keep an attitude of faith and if you keep praying, there's going to be a miracle. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And so I'm telling you here tonight, I'm not an angel. Well, I don't know. The Bible talked about the pastors of the church, the angel of the church, so maybe in that respect I would be. But I've just come to tell you, get up, get dressed, do what you can do, and let's watch the God of the impossible do what we can't. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, does anybody need a miracle tonight? Would you come around this altar and let's stretch our faith here right now. Let's reach out to God. the God of the impossible that is able to do absolutely anything. Lord, you are able. Lord, you are able. God, you see the need. You see the situation. You see the circumstance tonight. God, I pray that you would begin to work, Lord. We stretch our faith right now. We reach to you right now. I pray that your hand would begin to move, that your work would be done right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes, that we would see, Lord, there's more for us than are against us. I pray, God, that you would begin to make a way. I pray that you would provide. I pray that you would bring the answer. I pray that you would open the door in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. God, I pray that you would encourage the prayers of your church. Encourage the prayers of your people. We've got to keep praying. We've got to pray without ceasing. We've got to push. We've got to push with prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.